Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just praise Him. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. How many loves to praise Him? Lord, we praise you. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you, Jesus. Knowing you are here, Lord, your presence is among us, O God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being who you are and just being able to make yourself available to us. We can participate in who you are, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for that. I just trust you, Jesus, this morning that you are going to do above what we could ever ask or think or imagine. You will do abundantly above anything that we could ever even think of, Father, or speak about. And you're doing it right now, Lord Jesus. You're here right now, Lord Jesus, looking for open hearts and sincere people. We thank you, Father, for this day. Bless your word, Lord, as we ask you to open it to our hearts. And as our hearts burn within us, may you also open our understanding to the word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of God and to be among believers. And, you know, this is home for us. This is our home away from home. Amen. This is the new church up in the front here. It's pretty nice. Hallelujah. So we appreciate all of you while you're standing. Let's just go to the Word of God, and we'll read a few verses there. And we're going to begin Psalm 139, and the 13th verse, 13 and 14. We'll read those two. For you formed, verse 13, so Psalm 139, 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. May God bless his word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just thank God for his word today. I'd like to title this, I Am What He Says I Am. Amen? You know, you're not really who anyone else says you are. You're not even who you think you are, but you are who He says you are. You know, God's Word declares the things that are. And the beauty of our Father is that He's a God who can speak something before it even exists, and then it exists. So God speaks it as though it is. and that's the beauty of all of this that I want you to understand today, that we are truly a blessed people. Amen. You know, the words I am are so powerful. So we use them all the time. We say, I am this, I am that. We speak of, you know, but whatever follows those two little tiny words determines who you are in the world that you live in. It determines what kind of experience you're having or the situation you find yourself in. You know, it's one of those things that it's called a locus of control. You have some control over your life more than you realize because God made us in His image. And because He's a creator, He made us to be creative. You cannot help it. You could find someone who's just spewing out all kinds of negativity and cursing and they're living a miserable life. Well, you know, they're creating the very world that they live in. That's their world. They love that world. If you didn't love it, you would get away from it. But they just keep on speaking about it, and it just keeps on manifesting. Hallelujah. And so I want you to know that when God formed you, see, God didn't just come to you as a sinner and say, hey, miserable sinner, do you want a shot at life? You know, He formed you in your mother's womb. God was designing you in a very early part, before you even had a chance to be good or bad or indifferent. God was already shaping you for something in your life. And He was making you in a special way, in a unique way, in a powerful way. I love that, don't you? There's another verse, Isaiah 49 says, all you people in faraway places, listen to me. Pay attention, all you nations far away. Before I was born, the Lord called me to serve Him. Can you guys make that declaration today? I know this is Isaiah, but you're a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled son and daughter of God. How many here could stand to your feet and be able to say, hey, listen, everybody, I want you to know, before I was born, hallelujah, the Lord called me to serve Him. The Lord named me while I was still in my mother's womb. Hallelujah. What a blessing to think of that. And Brother Branham said it a little bit of a different way that ties in. He said, to me, the natural birth is more of a miracle than the virgin birth. I mean, that's a shocking statement, right? So he said that the natural birth is predestinated by God. You were predestinated by God. Out of the hundreds of thousands, millions of possibilities, you are here. And even your physical body, as the Bible talks about putting it together, God was shaping a vessel for Himself, a home, a temple, not just a body for you, but He was making a temple for Himself to dwell in. And we, by a new birth, get to be a sharer in this experience where God dwells within us. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. So, other scriptures, Galatians, now we're in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writing this letter, he says, but God set me apart for His work even before I was born. Isn't that cool? You know, we think, I live a life, you know, I'm in the world, I go through experiences, and finally God comes and I experience Him, and He calls me, and He brings me into this experience, and then He starts to tell me what my ministry is and helps me enter that or whatever it might be. And for some Christians, I'm going to pick whatever ministry I want and the Lord will help me with that. And they totally miss the whole point. But Paul is saying here, even before I was born, God set me apart and had a calling on me for a ministry. He called me through His grace. See, it's grace because you didn't do good or bad. You couldn't earn it. Before repentance, you were already called. Callings and elections are before repentance. Before you could do right, good or bad, God already set His love on you. He already loved you. Before Abel could ever do a good thing or a bad thing, God loved him. It's hard to understand that. And some people live a perfect life from birth, and God doesn't necessarily love them. I mean, it's hard to understand that. But it's because we understand that the world we live in is a world where God's spirit and the Satan and his spirit is trying to infuse itself into this humanity, right? But it's God's grace. You're not here because you just bumped into grace and got lucky, and you're here because something in you needed grace. Something in you was requiring it. There was something in you crying out, right? You're here because you discovered something. Grace is a discovery journey. You discover who you are. You discovered that God had a calling in your life. You discovered that even from your mother's womb, there was something hovering over you. Hallelujah. That's exciting, isn't it? You know, I am who I am by the grace of God. That's who I am. You can't be something else. See, God can't be, He can't evolve and He can't reinvent Himself. He is who He is. He basically said, I will become who I am. You know, I am who I am is in God's language is that I am whatever I'm going to need to be, I will unfold that because that's already in me. If he's a father, he's already a father before he ever has a son. If he's a savior, he's already a savior before there was ever sin. Before there was ever sickness, he was already a healer. But sickness brought that attribute into manifestation. It brought it to the forefront. It helped God become fully who he was. I become who I am. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? And you become who you are in the right situation, in the right circumstances, when life seems difficult, when you're going through trials, and you're wanting to escape it because we're normal human beings. We desire to get away from it, but yet God brought that to you to bring out the best in you. Something in you was called to meet it. If you have a challenge, a health challenge, a financial challenge, or whatever challenge it might be, you are more than a match for that challenge. You are more than able to take the mountain. You are more than able to speak to the mountain and the water and any other thing that might stand in your way and move it to get to your destiny. You can do this. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Amen. Jeremiah 1, I really like this because when God speaks to Jeremiah, he really brings out what he's saying here. And he says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. This is a little different language and it's very powerful because Jeremiah is bleeding into New Testament concepts here. Before I even formed you in the womb, it goes beyond being called in your mother's womb. God is expressing that you have an existence before you even started in your mother's womb. And in that, I have already I formed you for a purpose. He says, and I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah's ministry. Every single one of us has a ministry. Every single person here is called. You believe it? To the called. You know, he loves us and we love him because we're called. And every one of us is called. But when did the calling start? Did it start when you were born again? It did not. Did it start when you had your natural birth? It did not. It's a part of the manifestation of the calling, but it wasn't the beginning of it. Did it start when you're in your mother's womb and God was forming you? It did not. That was a beginning. That was a part of it. But the calling in your life began before because God knew you before you even came. Started as a physical being, you were already a spiritual being. You see, you as a spirit being who is a real you didn't start the day you were born. That's just your brain, your computer here that was formed in your mother's womb only has that memory. In fact, it can't really go past the two-year-old. You know, some of you might remember being two. You might remember being three, but you can't go past. You don't remember when you were one. Isn't that strange? You live two whole years that you don't even remember. You have amnesia. But the Holy Spirit says, look, that birth that we celebrate to remind ourselves over and over again, we were born on a certain day, brought you to this world just to set you up for a new birth, which you can never forget. And that's the one we should celebrate, right? So, and what are we celebrating? What is the new birth? You're being born into the realm of God's knowledge. I knew you before. You're getting back your memory. That's awesome, isn't it? And that's why we gain victory in living in that realm because, see, Satan can only attack you based on what's happened since you were born of your mother and father. But since you've been born again, he has nothing, no tool, no weapon fashioned can prosper against you because of a new birth, which erases the old birth, even though we keep celebrating it. It erases it. It's not that it's gone, but it's that it's negated. It has no more significance, really. I'm no longer the son of, you know, Dion and Leighton Gibbs. That's not who I am. Thank God I'm here physically by them. It produced the house, but the one living in the house came from somewhere else. I'm just here visiting. I wasn't born into this world. I was sent here. See, too many of us think I was born. How did you start? Well, I was born here. No, you weren't. Some people maybe were, but I wasn't born here. I was sent here. You're sent here. You're here for a purpose. You're here with a calling over your life that didn't begin when you were born again or saved. That began before you were even born, even formed in your mother's womb. God had a calling on your life in eternity. He had a purpose. He designed you to come here and match up with a body that was your body. You're looking at me, but you don't see me. But when you see me, then you see my Father. Hallelujah. If you can see past the veil, you'll see something else. And it's a genetic code of my Father. I'm a piece of Him. I'm part of Him. I'm part of the Master. How many here is part of the Master? How many here is a piece of the Master? Hallelujah. We got to look past the veil. You got to see what's behind it. That's what the seals was doing. As long as the seals was on the Word, we could only see the Word vaguely. We could not see in the mirror clearly to see who we really are. We thought we were simply church. We thought we were Catholic. We thought we were Lutheran, Pentecostals. We thought these things, but the seals came off and we started seeing. When I look in the mirror, I don't see me anymore. I'm seeing Jesus Christ in a bride form. Hallelujah. On these grounds, Satan is defeated. Where he once had success, he can't have success anymore. As part of this, what we call end time message, don't allow yourself to become another denomination, saints. Don't allow yourself to go around calling yourself message believer. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I promise you, the prophet of God never said it once. Never said message believer or message believers. Saints, we believe a message. But the message is not a concept, it's not doctrines, it's not dogmas, it is a person, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that is the message, and has always been the message. From the Apostle Paul, from Jesus on till now, man has messed around with it and made it into something else, but God is restoring it back again. I am who I am by the grace of God. When I look, when the I am looks in the mirror, I am sees I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you see it? I can do all things. Jesus said, with God, only with God, all things are possible. Then he turned around and says, all things are possible with whoever believes. How many here has a revelation of who you are in Jesus Christ? Therefore, you can do all things, and all things are possible through you. Because the faith in you isn't even yours, it's His. It's bigger than you. You don't control it, it controls you. We better learn this fact. You better just yield yourself to it. It's going to do what He wants it to do. And so it says in Romans 8, hallelujah. It's hard to... It's hard to read Romans 8 and not feel like you're going in a rapture. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. See, God doesn't call you for your purpose, He calls you for His. For whom He foreknew. Anybody see where we're going with this? This isn't about when you were walking around on earth and He liked your character and you seem like a good kid, so then God knew you and then He decided He was going to save you. It's not like that. God doesn't have this running mode of decision making to make. The decision's already made. It was made before the earth was made. It was made before the universe was spoken into existence. Before God said, let there be light, you already existed. God already had a purpose. You were part of His purpose. Amen? For whom He foreknew or knew before, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, the son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. How many here is born again? Jesus was the firstborn. You're coming right in behind as part of him. So he's the first one among many. And that includes a body change and a resurrection because he went there first, right? We're next. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, don't you love that? Saints, think about this for just a minute. The whole thing is set up here based on predestination. God already predetermined you and knew you. Before he created a thing, before even angels showed up, you were in God's mind. God determined you, he thought of you, and he called you. And he called you within the Lamb, within Christ, because Christ the Lamb is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Can you say amen? And so in Christ you're called already. And then angels come and all that happens. And finally you're born and man is born and sin happens and then you're born and here you are on this earth. And so them he called, he also justified. Listen, if you're called, you're on a path to justification. You're not going to be able to get around it. You will run into it. But God's already done it in advance. He knew you would come to the world as a sinner and would require it. So he already justified you. And not only that, but he already glorified you. How many say, oh, I hope I make the rapture. Oh, I hope I... You're in it. He has already glorified you. It's just like you're acting out the movie. You're just acting something out that's already happened. As far as God's concerned, he's already seen it. When a prophet sees a vision, that's a vision of a reality that hasn't taken place yet in time, but it has taken place in future. As far as God is concerned, it's a done deal. He says, yeah, a woman with a brown suit, a dress will come walking up to you on such and such a street. Two or three days later, he's walking down the street and there's this woman. It's not predicting. It's telling you, it's God sees time in the future that's already been done. Hallelujah. And it's like chess, but it's not like a chess player. But a chess player will think ahead several moves. The more moves you can think ahead, the more possibilities, the more you can win. And God doesn't have to do it that way because he already knows how it's all going to come out. He says, I know the end from way back at the beginning. Praise the Lord. Now, it doesn't make us a bunch of robots. It ought to make us excited to know that even though we're in a fight, it's a fixed fight. So stop flailing around in the air, as the Apostle Paul says, fighting the air. We're not fighting, you know, trying to maybe hit something. You will take down the giant. You will take down the enemy. You will make this mountain move. You will make the ocean spread open. Amen. Because you were called of God to do it. I love this, don't you? Paul ultimately says in Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? It's almost like he's saying, so devil, what will you say to that? He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Anybody have an answer? It's a question. There has to be an answer. Who can be against us? Sickness or death or things present or things past or things future, he gets into it. No, it will not stack up against you. Even yourself can't be against you. Even your own thinking won't work. It doesn't register. It's nothing. So we might as well start utilizing thoughts that are something, because these thoughts about I'm lacking, I'm not as good as I should be, I wish I was a better Christian, that's just nothing. It doesn't exist. The real thoughts that you should be emanating in your life is, I am called of God, I am glorified by God, I am justified by him, I am who I am by his grace, hallelujah. What follows I am determines the world you live in. It determines your destiny. I am what? What do you say about yourself? Oh, I'm getting tired. Yeah, and now you're probably getting more tired. Now, I'm getting old. Right? I am so weak. What are your thoughts? What are your words? God gave us a Bible. It's a script. It's called Scripture. You take the Word of God and act that out. Speak it out. Live it out. Make it you. Make it part of you. Can you do that? Just make it part of you. When you read the Word of God, make it personal to you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Really embrace that's you. That is reality. That's not just fake it till you make it. That's real. This is the kind of Father we have. We have a God who calls things into existence that don't exist yet. And He calls them as though they are. And the prophet of God explained it this way. He said, when God said, let there be light, He said it might have been a long time before the light actually showed up. But God never sat there sweating it out. He knew it was coming. God just speaks things that are not as though they are. And if He does that and it works, what are we doing? Well, you know, we do it too. I talk to people on the phone trying to set up an appointment, and I ask them some questions. Do you have cancer? Well, not yet. And it just catches me off guard every time. I'm like, what on earth is that? And it's weird because you will ask something like diabetes, no. You know, do you have a kidney, some kind of kidney? No. But when you say cancer or heart attack or heart issues, every time, you know, every time. But those two, the most major things, not yet. And then I'll just joke and say, oh, so you're just waiting for it? It's just going to show up someday? But people live this life of expectancy. When's the next shoe going to fall? When is my life going to go from this bad notch to a worse notch? When is it going to go from the pan to the fryer, right, into the fire? That's how we think. That's how we live. Stop it. Why do we do that? We're not supposed to do that. God called you to better things. Set your affections and concentration on things above and not on these things on the earth. Don't look at things as they are. Look at things as they will be. Don't speak of the things as they are. Speak of them as they will be. You must be like Abraham, who was able by God's grace. What a faith the man had. We ought to have it too. But he was able, the Bible says, to look past his present condition of being not able to produce a son and be able to not stagger or stumble at the promise of God through unbelief, but believe God and hold on to it that I will have a son. I'm 90 years old, I'll have a son. I'm 100 years old, I'll have a son. He believed it. He held on to it. And it happened. Do you believe that? Amen. Oh, God. You know, I know the doctors say our sister, how he appreciates our sister Jenny being here. I know what they're saying. I know what they're saying. We have to do this. We have to do this. This is what they're saying. But do they? Really? Do we just have to yield to that? Do we just have to surrender to that? Saints, where's your voice? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? God's looking for this to line up with His Word. Where is the great physician? He doesn't chop pieces of our body away. He restores. Hallelujah. That's what I'm expecting. He restores. Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Think of it, saints. You were chosen in Him before He ever spoke a thing into existence. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, and nothing has changed it. God has chosen you holy and blameless. And as far as He's concerned, sin and sickness and death are only temporary barriers to the one truth that he holds dear to him and will not change, and that is that you are holy and chosen and righteous and perfect and blameless before him. That's who you are, because you are him. And he can't be a sinner. Temporary things mean nothing. It's eternal things that matter to him. There's an eternal quality of you. And notice, you're before him in love. Amen? Now, in a message called Love, he says this. Now, do you realize, being a son or daughter of God, that you are a minor creator? Do you know you create the atmosphere that you live in? How many here love your atmosphere? You know, I there's people, believers, that they go to work and they say, oh, I hate it there, hate work, hate my boss, hate this, hate that. Well, why are you letting other people's atmosphere be yours? Go in with a bubble. Create your own atmosphere. Create that and go like that. And then change their atmosphere. That's what he goes on to say. I love this. Now, in Exodus 3, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. A little hard to say that without it, you feeling like you're talking about yourself a little bit, right? I am sent me to you. This is something that God is doing on purpose. He's doing it on purpose because he even said, Moses, I'm going to elevate you to a place where you are going to be God to Israel. And Aaron will be a prophet who will speak for you. That's some powerful stuff God is doing. We see God who's not worried about losing his position. We see God who's not afraid, you know, that, oh, if you elevate yourself too much, oh, that's going to be a problem for me. I can't have that. I got to keep you shoved down a little bit. This is man's thinking. This is Satan's thinking. In order to keep my position, I got to beat down my demon servants, keep them a little beat up so that they'll stay below me because I don't want no one to take my spot. He has to outwit everybody. But God doesn't have to do that. God's got the reverse thing going on. He's trying to elevate us to himself. In fact, God is limiting himself because he cannot fully express who he is without you. It isn't a case of, as I've always said, the eternal fellowship that three persons of the Godhead have, therefore they don't really need anybody else. They don't need fellowship or family because they're family already. There's three people. And they're playing cards, and then suddenly they look over their shoulder, the experiment, mankind that they did, that they made man, and man fell. The experiment fell apart, and they say, oh no, one of us needs to go fix that, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And poor Jesus or Mo has to go down. I mean, it's silly, but that's how they think of it. That's really, if you believe in the Trinity that way, you will never understand salvation properly. Because God is saving because of a need he has, not because, oh, I feel so bad for people, let me go save them. God has a need. He has a need to express his love. He has a need because there's something that got lost. When God loses something, it's never permanent, but it's something that belongs to him, and he will redeem it and bring it back. He will bring it back to its original condition. There's a connection there. 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul again, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So I just love this, that Paul is catching this. And God says these words. Now, here's the beauty of it. When God says, I am who I am, it is an interesting Hebrew word, which is Eye Asher Eye. Or Eheye Asher Eheye. So it's different ways that you could pronounce it. But it really simply means that God is saying, I am who I am, or I become. Because it's a word of continuation. I am being who I am being. Meaning that it allows, like a train, you have the big engine and it has a coupling on the back. It allows you to put boxcars on it. Yet that train can ship anything it wants to. You just hook it up. And that's what that name does. When you end something in that last part, that H, we call it Yahweh. It's not the exact, it's not the correct pronunciation or correct way to say it. But regardless, you'll notice a lot of the Jewish women named their children under inspiration using God's name. And they would use Yehu. So you would have Yehu or Yehoshaphat. So it would be God's name, I am, and then whatever the rest means. And by the way, Jesus' name is actually Yehoshua, which is I am salvation. In every way, God is constantly telling us, I am this, I am that. I am. Notice he can add and make a compound name, Jehovah Jireh. See, the beauty of his name is it allows to couple something up to it. God isn't being so self-enclosed that he's blocked everyone and we have to put him on a pedestal and worship him some far-off place in an untouchable, untangible way. Instead, God is constantly expressing, I want to become closer to you. In fact, I want to attach myself to you. I want you to be attached to me. And as you grow in Christ and you're expressing who you are, don't you understand what's happening there? It's an extension of the very name of God himself. You are an extension by expression of the very name of God himself. It's his family name. That's why it's a family name. It's where family comes and God becomes Father. It's where family comes and God becomes Savior, Healer, Deliverer. And in fact, by saying I am who I am, he's saying, listen, I am and I will become anything that will be needed in your life. I'm going to be that need. I am not only going to supply your need, but I myself am the supply to your need. Because we're one. We're family. And God can supply the need of one sister through another sister. Or one brother through another brother, brother, sister. God will supply it through the connector. Hallelujah! Isn't he wonderful? So he says, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I had labored more abundantly than they all, and yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Oh God, let your grace labor within us. Amen. John 1 says this. This is John the Baptist now. He says, and I love this. See, John was asked questions. Who are you? Are you Elijah? Are you the next Messiah? Are you this person, that person? Who are you? Why are you doing this stuff? People wanted to understand who he was. See, but John had no problem with his identity. I mean, he was so connected with God's word that it became personified in his life, the scripture. When the old prophet said, behold, a voice of one in the wilderness crying, make way, make straight the way of the Lord. Amen. That's just the scripture, and people watched for it, they wondered about it, but they didn't really know how it would work. John is very connected to this verse and some others. And by being so connected to it, he became one with it to the point where he finally cries out, I am the voice of one in the wilderness. Hallelujah. It wasn't just a man, not just a prophet. He was a voice. Not a voice, but the voice of one in the wilderness. They knew who he was talking about. Make straight the way of the Lord, just as the prophet Isaiah said. He got it. He cried out himself. And he was literally the voice that the prophet Isaiah said would come. I love that, don't you? Oh, saints, I hope you get this. You know, Brother Branham stood here on this earth. He was not just simply a preacher, an evangelist, a healing ministry man, you know, and televangelist, none of that stuff, thank God. It was more than that. He became personified with Scripture. Scripture began to show up in his life, to be infused in who he was. He could truly say, I am Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He didn't say it, but he could say it. He could truly say, I am the shout. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? He could say that. That's who he was. I am the shout. Not just bringing the shout, but he was that whole thing. Amen? But saints, now we're beyond his ministry, and what his ministry accomplished is sitting right here in this room. It's sitting around the world in the form of a multi-membered body all around the world. We can truly understand that we also can say, I am. I am, and point to Scripture.
of what I am. Hallelujah. I am more than able to take down the enemy. I don't care what giant you send my way. I can do it. Hallelujah. We should be speaking words like this. I am blessed. You should just say it. I am blessed. I am blessed. What follows your I am? Are we reiterating the devil's lie? Or are we speaking, emphasizing God's word? I am blessed with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places. I am chosen by God. I am elected by God. I am predestined by God. How many can say that? I am. I am more than a conqueror. What is more than a conqueror? Isn't it good enough to be a conqueror? There's been conquerors, but when you're more than a conqueror, you're not like the others who conquered and then lost. You know, it's always that one loss that's the end of it all. Well, he was a conqueror. No, you're not was. You're I am more than a conqueror. There's no losing in my life. I am victorious. I am healthy. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am your healer. I am healed. That's your only response. You have no other response. I am healed. I am is speaking to I am. What else can you say? What other response can you have? I am healed. Let the weak say, I am strong. Don't consider your weakness. Don't say, well, I can't say I'm strong. I'm so weak. You know, when I get strong, I'll say I'm strong. That's all wrong. You've got it backwards. That's not the way your Heavenly Father works. He says, let there be light. In fact, in Hebrew, it's actually, be light. It's the first time Yeh is used, which is his name, to be. I am. He says, Yeh, light. Be light. It's not so futuristic. In his mind, he's thinking, I'm going to say this, and it's going to happen. Be healed, body. Tell yourself, be healthy. Be there now, today. Be strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Hallelujah. Don't speak about the cursings that are going around that may be handed down through your family bloodline. Speak of the blessings. You've started out in a new bloodline. You're in the bloodline of Jesus Christ now. You're in the blessed camp. Hallelujah. You've left the old atmosphere. You've entered the new atmosphere. Hallelujah. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I love that, don't you? And here's Jesus over and over. I am the bread of life. Yeah, every single Sabbath, they broke the matzah. I think it is. They do. Yeah, because they, right? Every Sabbath or every Passover. But every single meal, every feast, constantly breaking bread and thinking back and speaking of Moses and manna and this bread. And Jesus just says, I am the bread. People ate that bread and died. Spiritually and physically. But I am the bread that you eat this bread and you never die. Hallelujah. That's powerful stuff. But watch what he's adding to the I am for himself. Nothing negative. It's all positive. I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. The sheep come in, they go out, they have pasture, they get fed. I am the access way that people can receive blessing in their life. When people come around me, they start getting blessed. I am like Abraham, where I'm blessing people by acknowledging I am a blessed person. If Abraham went around feeling cursed and rotten, he couldn't bless a soul. In fact, he would have been putting garbage on people. You can't do that, brothers and sisters. As Christians, as children of Abraham, we also must realize I am so blessed that my life is to bless others. Because there's just way too much for me. So I got to share it. Bless others. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Don't you love these things? Think of what he's saying here. I am the light of the world. You know, he turns around and points to the disciples and says, you are the light of the world. How's that possible? Because he, the I am the light of the world, was going to go away as an individual candle, light, and begin multiplying himself in many lights. As the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came and filled them all, and the lick of fire was landed on each one of their heads. They each became the light of the world. But it was still Jesus, the light of the world, in them. See, I am the light of the world is now I am the light of the world in them. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Hallelujah. Just over and over and over. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Finally, there's a place where they said, well, you look like you're not even 50 years old. How can you talk about Abraham as though you knew him? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was even born, I am. Whoa, no wonder they reached immediately to pick up stones. They didn't think he was just using a bad language, didn't know how to speak proper Hebrew. They knew what he was saying. You're calling yourself the I am. We're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. You're making yourself equal to God. But if Jesus said it, then he's pointing us in a direction. We also are part of the I am. Because I am by itself is like a man who has potential to be a father but never does it. See, I am is a name of potential to become all that he is. And it requires a family for him to do it because his greatest attribute is love. And love just cannot be utilized on one person. If you live by yourself in a cave, you'll never know what love is. It requires another person. It requires family. Amen? And for God to be able to express his full name, his full I am name, there needs to be objects of love. He must be the object of our love. We are the object of his love. And when you put those two together, it's all over for the devil. Because we become one with him. We are with him, in him, I am who I am. Oh my. When we look in the mirror, we see all this, that, and the other. We say things like, I don't know, I wish I was talented. I'm not talented. Why do you speak like that? Why do you think like that? Who gave you the authority to say that? God formed you in your mother's womb. He designed you before that, and your body was all predestined by him. You don't have authority to say that to yourself. You don't have the right to do that. All you can do is agree with God. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Elijah, you don't know. I can't play guitar. I can't sing. I can't draw. I mean, I can draw, but it looks like stick figures. I'm not talented. Well, but how do you know? What makes you think that that's all there is when it comes to talent or strength or abilities? It's not. And therefore, Christians live mediocre lives because they feel they can never rise above. But God designed you individually and uniquely, and you're called individually to rise to the occasion and become who you are meant to be. No one can take your place. So speak it. Look in that mirror and say, I am talented. I don't know what the talent is yet, but I'm going to get a piece of paper and I'm going to draw another stick figure. I don't care what you do, but just speak it and it will show up. If you speak, I am blessed. I am blessed. Blessings start coming your way. If you speak, I am healthy. Health and healing starts tracking you down. If you speak words like, I am talented, gifts and callings begin rising up in your life. God doesn't make junk. He only makes valuable things. Well, I made a lot of dumb decisions in my life. I'm just not very wise. You got to change your words that follow I am. I need you to do that.
He needs you to do that. I am wise. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. I am blessed. I am disciplined. This is where I have to put this in here because it's something I say a lot. And I have to kill those words off. Kill them off. Mortify. Because I say I'm not very disciplined. I'm not self-disciplined like I should be. How many's ever said that? I wish I was more disciplined. I am disciplined. I'm speaking it because it's there and it's going to be part of me. But I'm speaking it as though it is now. Hallelujah. I am these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Jenny, blessed are the feet of them who bring the good news of Jesus Christ. You blessed me as a child in my life when you babysat me and helped to, you know, bring good quality characteristics into my life and integrity into my life. Myself, my brothers, this sister here was like a mom to me. She brought God's word in my life by practice. You don't see that often. Lots of Christians talk the talk, but this woman walks the walk. Can you say amen? And that's why I believe with all my heart that her feet are blessed. The word of God says it. Blessed are the feet. If God can heal my feet, why can't he heal hers? What's the difference? Has she not served him with all her heart and served the people and come in all different hours to help clean up the church building and put things in order? Didn't she do that? Isn't that our sister who's done those things? It's up to you, saints. Who wants with all your heart? Who desires for her feet, for her feet to be healed and her not to lose her toes? How many here has it in your heart? I don't want to see that happen. That's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Just something in you needs to rise up and say, that won't happen. I love the Amplified on this Philippians 4:13. You're all familiar with it. I can do all things through him who strengthens and empowers me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, don't get this all mixed up because this is the problem. Christians say, oh, I can't do nothing. God has to do everything. That's not it either. But Brother Branham was rebuked by the angel. I got to force you and push you and make you do things. Don't make me do that anymore. I need you to start walking in faith. If you go in a way that it's not quite right, I'll guide you. But I can't. This is a relationship. It's a partnership. We're putting on a yoke with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Where we got to work together. So I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Outside of Christ, you have nothing. Right? I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. I can and I will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's in Romans 4, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before God whom he believed. And who raises the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. I'm calling it. Sister Jenny, remember when you had these like perfect toes? Perfect feet? Okay, maybe our feet, we never think of as perfect, but there was a time when they were a lot more perfect than they are now, right? That's what we call. If it can be, it will be. It's a law of physics. If it can be, it will be. If it's possible, then it is. Nothing is possible that isn't. Only things that are possible. Perfect feet. Who needs perfect health right now? Raise your hand. God bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Listen, we all need a brand new touch. Amen. How many knows that? I don't have time to go into all these other ones, but so many beautiful things here. just you understand, Brother Branham made this statement. This is what I want to get to. Do you realize your sons, as your sons of God, the atmosphere and the air that you live in, you create a situation around you.
that either draws or pushes away. God's blessings are either coming toward you or they're going away from you. Choose this day what you want. Because in your mind, you all know we struggle. Like, what, you know, why am I in this situation? Why does this keep repeating? Stop asking why. Change it. Stop crying. Speak to it. Speak it into existence. Do you believe that? I love this. The atmosphere and the air. That's pretty powerful, don't you think? Do you realize that this is a law of physics? They actually were able to take a film of a man laying hands on someone who's sick, and they saw a light coming from his hand, and the person got well. If you can understand it, it actually electrifies the air around you. Whatever you're feeling, you're emanating a feeling, an emotion, a thought, or a word, or an action is reverberating out into the dark matter, which is like a curtain, and it's just rippling around, and all that stuff just ripples right back to you. Praise the Lord. I can't help, Brother Elijah, I just can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. The Bible tells us how to do it. How do you do it? The Bible says that David stirred up his heart and built confidence back into himself. He had been defeated. He had hiding out in the caves. He was struggling, but he built up his heart again, and he stirred himself up. And then he went and defeated the Philistines. I love that. Scriptures tell us. Paul says, I beat myself into... What's he doing? He's tearing down emotional and mental strongholds and establishing God's word as fact. I am happy. Hallelujah. I am healthy. Here it is. He says, create this atmosphere of being happy instead of being sad. And it's not just for you. Brother Man went into the home. The house was in chaos. The kids were fighting. Food wasn't made. Dishes were everywhere. And he walked in there, and he was a dynamo. He just went in there, and he got the kids to stop fighting. He got them concentrating on playing a game together. They were getting along. He went in, started helping with cleaning up the dishes. And he says his wife was just upset. People are coming, going. She's like all stirred up. And he just kept putting his hand on her. Hey, sweetheart. Hey, honey. And act like he's having a normal conversation. But he says, every time I put my hand on her, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I put my hand on her. He says, I am creating a happy happiness. Happiness, joy, peace. Amen. Saints, think of it. We've been taught by the best how to do these things. You're not going to necessarily see it in the Bible, but it is in there. We just couldn't pull it out. We had a man who came and God used to demonstrate to us how this is done. Use it. Because you have to come out of the atmosphere you're in into another atmosphere. So what you do, if you don't like the atmosphere you're in, create another one and then step out of that one and step into the one you just made. Oh, it's so hard. When I feel depressed, you don't understand, Elijah, it's going to be a long road, man. I'm going to be so down and out. I'm going to be in the rut for a long time. Really? Then you got two options. Create a different rut, atmosphere, or let me know when you're out of that one, because I don't want to talk to you right now. I got other things to do. And I don't want to be that way either. And if I do that, you let me know, because I don't want to be that way. But when you do that, God lifts you right up from the world and you live in a heavenly atmosphere. When you create an atmosphere that matches God's atmosphere, he lifts you into heavenly places. Because he wants you close. Isn't that great? Become attractive to him. Now you say, the devil tells me I'm not attractive to God. Yes, you are. But you're letting the devil express himself through you. Why would you do that? Why do I do that? We don't need to do that. Let's stop it and let God express himself through us and create that right atmosphere. He says they create that by the way they live, by the way they think. It's a little atmosphere you live in. He was talking about why some people you love to be around, other people you don't like to be around, and he explained why. You've heard my message on the possum, and this is really powerful. This is the secret that'll motivate you to change your atmosphere. How many wants the secret? Because sometimes we're just not motivated enough. It has to be something bigger. Here it is. he says, you remember my message and story about the possum? the possum, the mother possum that was half dead. The bees that were buzzing around to sting him. The bull that was trying to kill me. And even the other place said, the man that stormed up on the platform. He said, remember those stories? He says, watch what he says. He says, you create an atmosphere. And that's the atmosphere you have to be in to pray for the sick. It's the same thing. It's love. Love casts out evil spirits. It's love. That's the third pull. It's faith that's working by love. Not just faith. Faith that's working by its love, saints. We are coming up a little short with that one. And I'm asking God to help us to get more of the love of God in our hearts and lives. I need it more. You need it more. We all need it. There's people in here who are hurting, there's people who are suffering around the world, and maybe we're not even aware of it. Of course, a lot of times because we're just so stuck in our own little atmosphere. But I understand one principle of God. If you reach out and help a brother or sister with love in your heart, then guess what? They're going to have more than that coming and reaching out to you. Let's start doing that right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Each person, he says, is a dynamo. You put out an atmosphere. Hallelujah. He says, and the things that you think, the things that you do, actions, things that you talk about, creates an atmosphere. He says, let me see what you look at, what you read, the kind of music you listen to, the crowd you associate with, and I'll tell you what kind of spirit is in you. Our atmosphere, saints. Now, this is the last one I'll read to you, and it's extremely powerful. You know that he said we're miniature creators. Is that correct? This is a real thing. Now, if you're saying, well, I haven't really been a miniature creator. I need to work on that. Yeah, but you have been. Right? We're all being miniature creators. We're creating something. You may not like what you created, but you did make it. I make it, you make it, and we influence one another, and we create atmospheres that also affects others. That's a little sad, too. But it's true. But here's where I want to get to. How many believes in the token? As something that's a reality with God, though it is something spiritual today, not chemical. It still needs to be applied. It must make contact. Watch what he says here. In the message, the token, he says, then apply the token in prayer. If you want to know how to apply the token, you do it in prayer. You also do it by the words you speak, the thoughts you think, the emotions you feel, attitudes you have, and so on. So he says, apply the token in prayer with consideration and believing. Apply it with such love and so forth till you know it's going to take place. That's all. Apply it in confidence, believing it's going to help. When you talk to that child, when you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to this loved one, believe that it's going to help. Just stand there and say, Lord, I've claimed them. They're mine. I'm getting them for you, Lord. No, that's powerful stuff, but that's who you are. That's how you were designed. You were designed by God to do these things. You know, sometimes we think that we're fighting the enemy and, oh, Lord, help me defeat the enemy. You know, there's scripture where Israel would not attack until they went and prayed and asked God. And God, when God gave them the okay, it was beautiful the way he would do it. He says, I go because I have delivered them into your hand. They still had to go wield the sword, but it was like a done deal, right? Because God said, I've delivered them. So you got demons pressuring you and giving you trouble in your life. Guess what? God is telling you the same thing. Go. I have delivered them right into your hands. Hallelujah. He says, apply it, the token, and create that atmosphere around you, and they'll just drop right into it. Praise the Lord. Now, I love this. You have loved ones that are not serving the Lord. When you pray, and you apply the token. What you're doing is you're saying,
Lord, this is my child, and I claim them as one of yours. This child is a son of God or a daughter of God. You just speak God's word right in it. It's the token. And you believe it, and because the love of God is in your heart, that they have to come. And then when you get around them, you're not putting pressure on them and squeezing them. Instead, you just created such an atmosphere around you that you know if you just get near them, as time goes on, they're slowly but truly going to drop right on in. They're coming. They can't avoid it. He says, oh, you are. You are. If you got the token, you create a spirit around you, a power that when you walk, people know you're a child of God. Wow, I love that, don't you? They'll know that you've been with Jesus. Musicians, please come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a couple of songs that I would like to sing, and one of them is Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. Let's be thankful, saints. Let's be grateful. Having a thankful attitude is such an atmosphere creator. Thank you, Lord, for my blessings. Thank you, Lord, for my health. Thank you, Lord, for my well-being. Thank you, Lord, for my family. Thank you, Lord, for my trials. Did Brother Elijah, did you just say that? What did you just say? Thank you, Lord, for my trials. Thank you, Lord, for my cross. I don't want anyone to take my cross from me. Let me carry my cross. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. You create an atmosphere wherever you go. And brothers and sisters, it's love. Love set the bees back into their home, made a bull go to sleep, healed a possum. Animals got it better than humans get it. Love healed many, many people. Love will do it again today. How many here loves our sister Jenny? How many here can go beyond that and just sense the love of Jesus Christ in your heart? Crying out, let there be. Amen. Just speaking in creations, let there be. Brand new feet. Let there be totally healed feet. Let the doctor not even find anything wrong with her. I've been hearing stories of people with these experiences going on. Amazing things happening where people are being healed by God just like that, because they get in an atmosphere and it does it for them. Saints, it's up to us. We have to create this atmosphere. I know we're thinking, Lord, please come, create an atmosphere. No, you and I create it. You and I do it. You have the power to do it. You have the ability. He's made you to do it. He's designed you and he's redeemed you so you could do it scripturally according to his will. Father, as we pray, we just pray because, Lord, the preaching's done, but we're just going to worship. As the water hits the seed, let the seed come to life. Let faith bring your word into fulfillment, because your word is filled with promises, and you promised and you said by your name, I am Jehovah, your healer. I am your healer. Hallelujah. So let it be done. There's many in here need a physical and an emotional and a spiritual healing. Other ways, perhaps. Financial healing, Lord. Then pour it out, oh God. So we speak it, Lord, into existence. We create it by just speaking your word and the word of God. As we confess it, we agree with it and speak what it says and personalize it and make it happen. We ask humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So as we sing this together, make a way where there seems to be no way. We cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to his side. love and strength for each new day. He will make a way for me. He will make a way. Oh, God will make a way, oh, where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He'll be my guide, mostly to his eyes, with love and strength for each new day. He will make a way. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks, Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. Who did He give? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. His Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done. Sing it again. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. How many gives thanks to Jesus for all He's done? We're so grateful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who has a need right now? Just God to touch you and transform you, change you, heal you, whatever it might be. There's a need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Donna, can we pray for you? For you and for your mom. I want us to pray with our sister. Sister Donna's mother's been going through so much. And a lot of that burden is just, I know it's on her. And she runs every weekend up to New York and back and forth, back and forth. So I want us to think of our sister right now. Keep her in prayer. Anybody else? Everybody else has raised your hand. You know, I'm going to remember you. Brother Roger, Brother Tom. God knows your heart. Let's pray right now. Let's seek His face. Heavenly Father, we love You, Lord, so much. We know that it's Your grace that we can come to You in the name of Jesus, because it's through the Lamb that's sitting there at the right hand that our voice, our prayer is heard, as though He is speaking. When we pray Your word, Lord, then the Lamb speaks it to You. And when we can't even figure out how to say it, He utters it. Lord, we're so glad that You can hear us when we pray, and You understand and You know what we need. And so, Father, we just present all these Your children to You now. Every single heart here needs something fresh from You, Lord. A physical healing, emotional healing, or whatever it might be, a touch, a spiritual outpouring. Lord, we're so hungry and thirsty, some of us, Lord. We just want more of You, more of You. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just want to lift up our sister Donna right now, Lord.
It's just so much stress and pressure, and but yet you've made her, you designed her to meet this challenge. But she doesn't need to do it alone, Lord. We do it with her. Help us to join in and help her, Lord, in every way we can, especially with our prayers, but also with our actions. Let her be encouraged, oh God. Pray that you'll give strength to her mother and help her mother through this time, Lord, that she can have the most comfort possible coming from you, Father. Heal her mind, her heart, heal her body, Father. She's your sister. I'm our sister. She's your child, Lord, your daughter. And we desire, Lord, that your children won't be in the grips of Satan, but let us see the hand of God, rather. Be her comforter, her healer, be her strength, Lord Jesus. Heal her heart, Lord. Let there be so much love that flows out of us, because it's not even our love, it's your love, Lord. Just flow through us. Grant it, Father. Pray for each other hand that's gone up, Lord, so many, Lord God. You could just touch them right now, Jesus. It's my heart's desire that you would touch every life here, every person, even the young, the children, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Bring them close to you. Don't let them drift away. It's so easy to drift, but let us all run to you, Jesus. We want to run to you, Lord, and draw close to you, Jesus. Granted, Father. Hallelujah. Pray for our sister Jenny right now. Amen. Lord, you said, and I sent my word and healed them. Hallelujah. I send my word and I heal you. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Send it, Lord. Pray for our sister Jenny right now. Oh God, heal our mama, Lord, our mother, and heal her body. Let her continue to just be eaten up by this thing in the name of Jesus Christ. We send your word, Lord. We send your word by the Holy Spirit. Oh, great physician, take her into your arms right now, oh Lord, and may healing flow into her body in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be done, oh God. We agree with your word and your promises. By your stripes, Sister Jenny's healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I proclaim this over every person here. By his stripes you are healed. In Jesus' name, walk in faith and hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Sing it with me as we stand. It's already done. Yes, it's already done. Hallelujah. The battle. It's all. Amen. It's already. Sing it to him. Like this, I'm already healed. I'm already healed. I proclaim it. Amen. Amen. Battle is over. Victory is won. Already done. Amen.